This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman and Randy Conan. Passing the extension for the Farm Bill was a huge win for farmers in a time of major uncertainty. Senator Kevin Cramer was disappointed in how long it took, but happy to get at least some certainty for producers at a time when it's greatly needed.
You know, whether we have a drought or don't have a drought, have flooding or don't have flooding, one thing we know we have is high input costs and low prices. And that safety net of the price loss program price loss coverage and the agricultural risk coverage is that the banker needs to know that they're going to be covered if there's a price collapse. And that $10 billion that was put in for economic assistance gives the Department of Agriculture between now and the crop going in a bit more resource to work with and a little bit of a formula that hopefully the farmer can take to the bank and the banker will say, you're good for another year.
Latest Ag Economist Monthly Monitor says most economists believe there is currently an ag recession.
According to data from USDA, shoppers are going to spend only 1.2% more at the grocery stores for food than last year. Megan Schweitzer, economist from the USDA, says the increase will be smaller for next year.
Prices for food at home are predicted to increase by 0.8%.
Not even 1%, just 0.8%. This from Agriculture Department economist Megan Schweitzer.
For most categories in 2025, we're predicting price growth to be pretty similar to 2024 and below long-term averages for most categories.
Schweitzer says those numbers are part of a wide range of forecasts that include the possibility of food prices dropping below previous year levels.
It's not very common for grocery prices to decline, but we did have a few years in 2016 and 2017 where prices declined.
Brazil's soybean crushing capacity is set to grow rapidly, increasing nearly twice as fast over the next 3 years compared to the last three. That according to Ito, BBA's Agro Consulting. 13 new projects will add 37,000 metric tons per day, raising annual capacity from 59.4 million metric tons this past year to 72.1 million metric tons by 2027. This expansion being driven by rising demand for soybean oil as a biodiesel production surges under Brazil's Fuel for the Future law. Biodiesel currently includes 14% vegetable oil, with targets increasing to 17% by 2027. Biodiesel consumption is expected to grow from 9.3 billion liters in 2024 to 12.3 billion liters in 2027, boosting demand for soybean oil by 34% during that same period. Despite this growth, soy oil exports are forecast to remain steady at around 1 million metric tons annually, below the five-year average of 1.8 million metric tons.
After a hard open this morning due to the Christmas holiday, markets are showing some positivity in the grain and oil seed sector, particularly in the soybeans, according to Brandon Doherty with Total Farm Marketing.
I think that being driven by a 10-day forecast in Argentina, which is a little bit drier. Soil moisture conditions and crop conditions will maybe see a little bit of a decline. So I think that's giving both meal a boost and then giving beans a boost as well. Corn and wheat, I think some of that is maybe a little bit of spillover support from the beans, as well as, again, the drier forecast for the next 10 days in Argentina. However, I think we're also seeing a little bit more of technical trading in corn. We did see that the front month, March, broke above the 200-day moving average this morning, and we tested that a couple weeks ago, but we have not really traded strongly above it since May. So that's an important resistance point that we broke above may indicate that we've got a little room to run on corn technically.
Doherty says it's a bit back and forth in the livestock markets.
A bit of back and forth on the live cattle. You know, we kind of saw a decline from the highs last week, starting to consolidate here. I think we saw some recent weakness due to some of the fall in the cutout values. However, technically, I think we're building support after that decline.
Markets are a little more active than expected day after a Christmas holiday. Lots of green on the screen, led by the soybeans. A bit of a surprise, according to Christy Van On from Van On & Company.
I actually thought there was some negative news out this morning just about China's hog herd, how small it is compared to a year ago, and the fear that we could have a little bit of lack of buying from them, especially with the crop that's coming in Brazil. But it seems like the buying is coming in, and it's really been great to see across the board, because I feel like corn's been stuck at this 448 to 450 level for quite some time, and it felt like it wanted to go, but it needed a friend. And once we saw soybeans be able to do it, looks like we got corn above, and same situation for wheat. This is such a big level for the corn market right now to be watching it trade above the 200-day moving average. Now we got to close above it, but this is really big for the corn market to be able to do this.
Cattle is moving in the right direction as well.
This is really important for cattle to be able to do something here. Through the VPOC, off the Feb live cattle, huge move there. And same situation off March feeder cattle, through that very important level. And so the fact that we got through that, I think you're probably going to wait for cash trade to reconfirm. But you are not all that far away from the highs for the March feeder cattle contract. High is at 262.75. We're 259.40, so really close to that. The hog market here just started off negative, but honestly, it's a lot of green across the screen, and so it seems to be on the positive side now as well.
The release of the weekly ethanol production report from the Energy Information Administration will be delayed until tomorrow due to the Christmas holiday. The range of trade guesses for ethanol production, somewhere between 1.09 and 1.12 million barrels per day for the week ending December 20th. Ethanol stocks expected to range between 22.4 and 23 million barrels. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. commodities export markets face some uncertainties heading into 2025. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek says soybean exports are facing some stiff competition in a fragile overseas market.
Something that does concern agriculture, and particularly the soybean industry, is that there's any reality in our trading relationships, our export markets being diminished. With soybeans, you consider the fact that over half of what's produced is exported, and these markets took years to be able to develop. And so we're obviously very, concerned about any kind of mitigation of those export markets. We have certainly some headwinds confronting our industry right now with, very strong competition from Brazil and also to an extent Argentina. But then when you have the potential of having some of these real key markets like China being reduced, that's clearly going to have a negative impact on our industry.
Keeping the world fed can help strengthen those trade relations.
I would argue, one of the most effective ways of increasing global stability and mutual understanding is for farmers in the United States to continue feeding the world. And when you're a country like the United States and having farmers specifically that are able to provide the protein and nutritional needs for a variety of other countries, China being a very strong example of that, that increases mutual understanding, that increases global stability. And so, farmers are not only a part of the solution in terms of helping the U.S. economy and our trade balance, but also increasing global stability as well.
Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says the thin sideways holiday trade continues in the grains.
That's right. An extension of the first couple of days, we had a day and a half or so worth of trading leading up to the Christmas holiday and back at it. We, have this shortened holiday week next week as well. We know, obviously, we're transitioning into a new year, and that defines the type of action that you've got for most markets at the moment. And that could be a thing to be thankful for now and something to watch out for, that it wouldn't last. Just the fact that there's so much going on, there are so many different risk points around the world. You talk about geopolitically or even domestically.
Fundamentals continue to drive the livestock trade.
For now, mostly stronger livestock we've been looking at this week, some exception being the weaker hogs and follow-up of the hogs and pigs report. So there's some more fundamental direction over in the livestock. They're also continuing to take a cue from the stock market and the sentiment on consumer demand in general in the economy. But status quo for the most part so far.
Country futures market analyst Daryl Holliday says the soybean meal market is pulling the soybean complex higher.
It is the got a lot of strength there, which it's been really volatile, but it's kind of reversed its bearish trend that we saw for quite a while, really into the 1st of December, and reversed and went through some technical points, and that has supported. But I think the fundamental side of that is just a little more concern about some dryness in Argentina. I'm not sure that it's well, they've had such a good year in Brazil and Argentina. I think it's all relative, but I think that's part of it. But the meal market continues to be really the backbone.
Thin holiday trade allowing the markets to move more than usual.
I think, once again, I think most of the strength today tied to a thin trade and just a little drier forecast in some worlds in Argentina. But they've got two rains coming here in the next. Most of that dryness is out there in the 11 to 15 day forecast. The next 10 days, they've got probably half to three quarters of the belt have. Of an Argentina having a good chance of rain, two different rains that, you know, be half to one inch. So maybe a little warmer and maybe a little drier on out there, I think, is what we're trading on from that standpoint. But I think most of it's technical from the soybean meal standpoint.
American Farmland Trust praised Congress for passing a year-end funding package that includes disaster relief and economic assistance for producers. However, the group expressed disappointment over the failure to transfer remaining Inflation Reduction Act conservation funds into the Farm Bill, calling it a missed chance to secure long-term support for farmers and ranchers. AFT said in a release that the U.S. is losing 2,000 agricultural acres daily, and the lack of additional funding leaves thousands of farmers unable to access resources to improve profits and sustainability. American Farmland Trust pledged to work with the new Congress to strengthen these programs and ensure future conservation investments. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. According to North Dakota Corn Growers President Andrew Mauch, expanding overseas markets for North Dakota corn is a high priority heading into 2025.
Farming now is so much more of a global market, global industry that, you know, it's not just, you know, We talked about livestock, and, you know, that's a big deal, but it's also, you know, kind of one of those things that's just another tool in the toolbox, and we need to get these get the corn out to the world. So, you know, we want good trade agreements, and, you know, tariffs don't help us that much, so we need the agreements and to be able to trade goods back and forth.
Another priority will be finding ways to reduce input and infrastructure costs.
Farming is kind of getting to be pretty, you know, high input costs, low prices where we're at. A lot of my friends and colleagues throughout the state and throughout the U.S. that are really, really struggling. So we're trying to figure out a way, you know, where we can kind of help everybody out there. You know, if we have had 2 years now of low profit for these producers, and, you know, you can sustain that for a little bit, but not very often can you keep going. So, you know, anything we can do to help the farm economy, rural infrastructure is a big deal, especially in the state of North Dakota, where, you know, our roads and bridges are so utilized by these heavy farm equipment and trucks and things to get our goods from point A to point B. Things just aren't cheap anymore.
Checking quotes, March wheat Minneapolis is 6¾ cents higher at 5.96¼. March wheat Chicago up 7 cents, 5.41¾. Kansas City's March hard red winter wheat is 8½ cents up to 5.52¼. March corn up a nickel, 4.53½. January soybean sitting at 9.87½, up 12¼ cents. Looking at the cattle side, February live cattle's up $2.80, 190.17. April live cattle up 302. June live cattle up 292. January feeders at 259.30, up 345. February lean hogs down 7 cents at 84.30. April lean hogs up a dime, 89.27. May lean hogs up a nickel, $93.30. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 575 at 43,302. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.